Hello and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. I'm your host, Thais Gibson, and I create regular podcast episodes to teach you about your relationships, attachment style, and the subconscious mind. My goal of this podcast is to give you tools and awareness you need to thrive in your relationships, feel deeply connected, and find harmony and fulfillment in your relationships and personal life. So I hope you tune in here with me each and every week. Talk to you about the top six red flags that dismissive avoidants often fear when it comes to the dating stage of relationships. So when they're getting to know somebody, they're sort of starting off to see and vet out people and decide if this is a good fit for them or not. And these are the top six red flags. So first and foremost, and some of these are not necessarily what you would expect. We've got the very clear ones for those of you that watch this channel. Criticism tends to be a huge red flag. These are some of the more obvious ones. DAs, because they have a big I am defective core wound, they're so much more sensitive to criticism than they would ever let on. And if they see somebody be really critical out of the gates, this can be something that really makes them want to shut down, push away. And highly critical people, they tend to want to keep at bay and often will not continuously pursue. Number two, another really obvious one is too much closeness. If somebody feels like they're moving too fast because dismissive avoidants really value their freedom, their autonomy, their independence. If somebody tries to move too quickly, they'll see this as a bad sign and a red flag, and they'll try to sort of deflect or deter themselves away from that relationship and probably discontinue the connection. Then we have number three, which is a little bit less obvious, which is high expectations. Dismissive avoidants often have this deep, deep inner fear that they won't often share until a little bit later into knowing somebody. But I've definitely seen this come up in sessions a lot when I worked with dismissive avoidants. And it would be that they really fear that they are incapable of truly showing up and committing to a relationship, and as if there's something sort of wrong with them or flawed or different about them. And they tend to feel this sort of learned helplessness to really meet people's expectations in relationships. So when people have high expectations, it's not like with a fearful avoidant, how it kind of triggers them and it's their shadow because they have such high expectations of themselves. But it's more like they sort of have this fear, oh my goodness, you're going to expect too much of me and I'm not going to be able to show up and it's too much pressure and I feel trapped, and they will tend to sort of push away. Number four is erratic behaviors. So dismissive avoidants, deep down, they really care about security, comfort, stability, consistency. And if they see a lot of erratic behaviors from somebody, they won't see that as like exciting or interesting. They'll tend to see that as something kind of scary and to be avoided. And erratic behaviors can be things like moving around often and all of a sudden, changing jobs often, things like this. Over the years, I saw so many dismissive avoidants in my practice say to me, I don't know about that person because they move around too much, and they would really see this as a big red flag. By the way, too, before I go into the next two, if you want to do a deep dive into like what to do with red flags, we have an entire webinar. It's about an hour and a half long, all about how to deal with red flags, how to know your standards, how to know your non-negotiables in relationships, how to discover them. And you can check it out for free for seven days using the link below. If you want to do a deep dive into like understanding what your red flags are, how to address red flags in a healthy manner, so you can figure out if they're a solvable problem or if they're absolutely not. And also to define your standards in relationships and non-negotiables, because intentional dating saves you a lot of time from going, you know, into a situation where you may be like, oh, you know, these things aren't a big deal, and come to find out later, these things are non-negotiables when you explore them a little bit further. So it really helps you like understand what's okay and what's not, and what your needs are for a healthy relationship, so you're not wasting your own time. Anyway, so you can check that out for free. You can enter into the 7-day All Access membership pass, go into the course section, click webinars, type in red flags, you'll see it right there. So erratic behaviors tend to be a big red flag for dismissive avoidance the vast majority of the time. And then we have number five, which is volatility in relationships. Wherever somebody is volatile, so when they have sort of these extreme mood swings in relationships or when dating, if they're really like sort of frustrated very easily, express a lot of emotion, kind of take out their anger on other people, things like that. Again, dismissive avoidants really just want to feel like they can be understood and safe and in harmony in relationships. They really don't like fighting or arguments. So any expression of volatility in the dating stage of relationships tends to be a huge thing that dismissive avoidance will sort of fear and want to keep at arm's length as a subconscious strategy to stay safe and to not have to be in conflict. And last but not least, we'll see sort of hand in hand with the other two, number six, is arguing a lot. So actually creating conflict. So volatility can be the expression of that stuff towards other people, but the arguments will be the expression of that stuff in the relationship to the person you're dating. So you'll see very fast if dismissive avoidance, even if they have really good feelings for somebody and are really developing feelings, if they see somebody in a relationship where they feel like the person is picking fights with them too early on, they'll be like, this is not a fit for me, because dismissive avoidance really don't like conflict. The vast majority of dismissive avoidance are very conflict avoidant as well. So really important things to pay attention to, very valuable information to know. And if there's something in here that you see and you were like, okay, I wanted to know what dismissive avoidance sort of stay away from, the call for you, if you're watching this video as a non-DA but have a DA partner, isn't to like change yourself into somebody who doesn't do these things. It's to be mindful about updating your strategies to have healthier ways of getting your needs met. So like if you have high expectations, for example, you know, it doesn't mean, oh, don't have expectations of your partner. It means change those expectations into standards, like things that you need in a relationship, by communicating about them rather than by just criticizing when they don't happen, which is the very reactive version. The proactive is to just state what your needs are, state what your standards are, what your hopes are in a relationship, and to follow those needs through. So it's like you can take any of these red flags and turn them into, well, why is this my behavior? What can I do that's healthy instead to get this need met? Another example is like, if you're arguing with somebody, well, try to work on healthier conflict communication. So arguments don't have to be really negatively conflict oriented. They can be, hey, we talk proactively about things instead of pick fights, right? If you're picking a fight, it's usually because you have an unmet need. But if you just express the need in a healthy way, problem is solved. The one last example I'll give you as well is if you find yourself in a position where you are, going through a lot of like instability, a lot of change, or a lot of, you know, sort of erratic behaviors or things like that. Well, why? Like, do you have to regulate your nervous system so that you feel safe being more grounded, so that that's a part of your subconscious comfort zone? Do you have to do the work on meeting your needs for novelty in a healthier way, more proactively? Like, there's always going to be something if you see that these are your patterns that you can unpack and discover from the unhealthy patterns by extracting what the need is and coming up with an updated, healthier form of getting the need met. So I hope this makes a whole lot of sense. Thank you so much for watching and for being here. Please like, share, and subscribe. And if you want to check out that webinar again, you can check out any of the webinars, any of the courses, all this good stuff for free for 7 days. It goes way more in depth than I could ever go in a YouTube video, and gives a lot more like step-by-step action steps and strategies and solutions for things in a hopefully much more consistent manner. Not even consistent, but just like in a more in-depth manner, so you can cut through everything and really get to the roots fast. So anyways, that's it for me today. Thank you for watching. Please like, share, and subscribe if you haven't already, and I'll see you in the next video.